Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anything else listening. My name is Drew Badger from The Big Scary Show, and welcome to The Big Scary News, an offshoot of The Big Scary Show where we bring you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry that you need to know, plus an exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly sponsored by Froggy's Fog. Get all your fog products from frog juice to scents to foggers and more only at froggiesfog.com. And now, without further ado, here is the Big Scary News. We start off with news from Horror Hound in Cincinnati. We are excited to reveal the addition of Pat Healy to the guest lineup for Horror Hound Weekend Cincinnati, March 20th through the 22nd, 2015. Pat has appeared in modern cult classics such as The Innkeepers and Cheap Thrills. Pat Healy can also be seen in such films as Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Ghost World, Compliance, Home Alone 3, and many others. He has a number of projects on the horizon, including the horror film Starry Eyes and Under the Bed. As a special treat for Horror Hound attendees, Pat Healy will be signing free autographs during the event. More details on this appearance will be revealed in the coming months. Ticket pre-sales are now available for Horror Hound Weekend, Cincinnati, Ohio. Visit www.horrorhoundweekend.com to order yours today. We have this news from District of the Dead Haunted Attraction in Hamburg, New York. Buffalo's first and only holiday-themed haunted house returns for December. Join us once more for an unforgettable night of insanity. Holiday horror is back bigger, badder, and more twisted than ever, with four holiday-themed haunted houses presented by District of the Dead and Final Fear. Open December 12th, 13th, 19th, 20th, 26th, 27th, and 28th from 7 to 11 p.m. Visit our Ticket Leap link to purchase tickets in advance. For more information, go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/districtofthedead. We have this news from Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia. With the 2014 holiday season fast approaching, please take note of our holiday schedule. The historic site will be closed to visitors on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's Day. We're also excited to announce that we've expanded our winter offerings. You can now access as many spaces, hear as many audio stops, and see as many art installations at Eastern State as you could any other time of the year. Visit www.easternstate.org/visit for more information, and we wish you all a warm, happy holiday season. We have this news from the Factory of Fear in Moline, Illinois. The Factory of Fear presents The Frightmare Before Christmas, a horror-themed holiday event for one weekend only, December 12th and 13th, only $15 a person. Tickets are limited and available at the ticket booth or at www.QCFactoryOfFear.com. We have this holiday news from Decimated Designs. It's the end of the year sale. Your choice on giant zombie heads, giant skulls, or both, just $775 plus shipping and handling. Product information can be found online at www.decimateddesigns.com. To order, just send an email to getdecimated@gmail.com for your invoice. Free customization is available, including placing your logo on the forehead of either at no extra cost. Please allow 3 to 4 weeks for delivery, and this offer ends December 31st, 2014. That's www.decimateddesigns.com. We have this hiring news from Ripley's Haunted Adventure and Terror on the Plaza in San Antonio, Texas. Now hiring motivated sales team members. Earn up to $10 to $20 an hour selling fun. Apply online now at www.ripleys.com/Phillips/jobs. Flexible schedule, paid training, a fun environment, bonuses, team outings, and more. Phillips Entertainment's mission is simple, providing fun while having fun. Come join our unique team. That's www.ripleys.com/Phillips/jobs to apply. We have this update from Culture Shock Con in Indianapolis. Tickets for the John Waters Meet and Greet and This Filthy World stage performance happening Saturday, February 28th at the Wyndham Indianapolis West as part of Culture Shock Con are officially on sale now, limited only to 200. This package includes two John Waters autographs on your items, a picture with John Waters using your own camera, a limited edition John Waters 11x17 poster print, a limited edition John Waters lanyard, admission to John Waters' This Filthy World stage performance, and Q&A on the evening of Saturday, February 28th. John Waters' meet and greet will take place Saturday, February 28th. Limited to only 200, this package is priced at $75 and includes all of the above. Note, this package does not include the convention admission. Either Saturday admission or weekend admission is also required, but sold separately. Get your tickets today at www.cultureshockcon.com. We have this news from the Haunted Barn in Greenville, Michigan. Okay, people, time for the great news. Ghost Finders are filming an episode for their next season on December 13th. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the Topper Shop and the Haunted Barn. We'll be opening the Haunted Barn December 13th at 5 and moving it into our big pole barn. We just purchased a spray-on foam machine, so we'll have it heated. We're doing some promoting with some of the local businesses, Turk Lake Bar, Alarm Tech of Michigan LLC. It will be free and open for only one night, but you could be on TV. I'm also looking for a live band and dancers. Everything will be over the top. Costumes, makeup, and the Haunted Barn. Come out and support your favorite Haunted Barn for free. For more information, look for the Haunted Barn in Greenville, Michigan's Facebook page. We have this news from Scare Kingdom Scream Park in Blackburn, United Kingdom. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa's sack is coming to Scare Kingdom. Do you have what it takes to brave Psychomantium 5, Santa's sack? Book tickets to A Christmas Scarol, and you will have the opportunity to experience Christmas the Scare Kingdom Scream Park way. Christmas Fest Evil, A Christmas Scarol, will open its doors on Thursday, December 11th, Friday the 12th, and Saturday the 13th from 6:30 with the last entry at 9:30 p.m. Advanced booking is essential, as limited tickets will be available at the door. A licensed bar will also be available. Visit www.scarekingdom.com now for all the information and the details on how to get your tickets. We have this news from Frightmare Manor in Morristown, Tennessee. December, Friday the 12th and Saturday the 13th from 7 to 9 p.m., the Frightmare Before Christmas showcases the haunted holiday-themed Jeremiah Lexer Plantation like nothing else seen in the region. Festively decorated and redesigned for one weekend only, the manor and phobia attractions will be unlocked and the undead set loose for this unforgettable creepy holiday tour. The property will be lit for Christmas. Our characters will be spreading Christmas cheer, and the giant movie screen will be showing a Christmas favorite. We'll have some scares, laughs, and a lot of enjoyable memories, as this will be an all-around fun night for all. Tickets are only $20 and can be bought at the door, or save time and buy advance tickets at FrightmareManor.com. Something is stirring, and it's not a mouse. For more information, go to their website at FrightmareManor.com. We have this news from District of the Dead Haunted Attraction in Hamburg, New York. Buffalo's first and only holiday-themed haunted house returns for December. Join us once more for an unforgettable night of insanity. Holiday horror is back bigger, badder, and more twisted than ever, with four holiday-themed haunted houses presented by District of the Dead and Final Fear. Open December 12th, 13th, 19th, 20th, 26th, 27th, and 28th from 7 to 11 p.m. Visit our Ticket Leap link to purchase tickets in advance. For more information, go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/districtofthedead. We have this news on a potential casting call for the Walking Dead spinoff series. A newly posted casting call via SpoilingDeadFans.com indicates that the Walking Dead spinoff series will film somewhere in Pennsylvania. While the authenticity of this application has yet to be confirmed, it is revealed that AMC TV is currently searching for actors and actresses aged from 13 to 65 with possible prior work in film or TV. Other than that tiny slice, however, not much is revealed about the context of the show. The production description simply describes how The Walking Dead is a popular comic book series and TV show created by Robert Kirkman. Essentially, it sets up the exact same zombie apocalypse backdrop that viewers will likely recognize from the currently airing series. The good news is, should any readers of this article be fortunate enough to land an extra or principal role, they'll be paid quite handsomely for it. As it stands now, AMC is offering $50 an hour for 8 hours of work. Possible overtime pay is listed as a provision as well. It should also be noted that no prior experience is necessary to be an extra, but the applicant is required to be, quote, outgoing and friendly, unquote. That being said, should fans like what they see and live in the Pennsylvania area, filming begins in mid-December. And finally, we have this news from Nivek Ogre. Ogre has a message for the attendees of Mad Mobster Chicago 2015. Quote, as a spooky child, I have always imagined myself to be a sociopath, just as serial killer became the it word for fear in the 1970s. As a child, I was both fascinated and pussified by the seemingly unemotional candor by which a murderer could dispatch their victims and then reminisce with no empathy paid forward. I couldn't grasp it, but then I save wasps from birdbaths. Now I find myself, as I crack and decay, looking backwards and understanding more than ever before that sociopathic behavior is the new norm and killers live and love amongst us, believing their path is taking them to their predestined finale. The corporation being the finest creation in legal, upright, long-standing murderous scum. Music seems a magnet for both the insane, sane, intelligent, and dim-witted. It's an equal opportunity mindfucker. The less then smarts see modern music loaded with subliminal messages that cause babies to rip the intestines from their mother's wombs. But I digress. They do go hand in hand, though, right from Manson's guitar twanging to the Cosa Nostra crooning Frank Sinatra, and in my travels with Skinny Puppy, I've crossed paths with some crazy shit. We entered Jeffrey Dahmer's hotel hunting zone. As rumor goes, he stalked his victims at a dance club and apparently was hunting there the night we played. I've held a crudely drawn drawing of a devil. I collect devils, penciled in colors by Henry Lee Lucas, but its energy tended to depress, so I gave it to a roadie for KMFDM who coveted it. I have also had the luck, or not, to visit one of the seven doorways to hell. Can you name the other six? We live to die, to hopefully live again, and on this crazy trip some weird stuff inevitably happens. Come talk to me about Sid the Splay Wilcox. Maybe I'll show you his trick. Unquote. Nivek Ogre, Repo the Genetic Opera's Pavi Largo, joins Mad Mobster on February 13th through the 15th. Pioneer of the industrial electronic music scene and founding member of Skinny Puppy and Ogre, he is also a featured recurring contributor to Mad Monster magazine with his twisted musings, What Blows Your Mind? There are a limited number of discount rooms at the Hilton Chicago Hotel, where the show is at, and the monsters party all weekend, so act fast if you want to save money with the Mad Mobster Chicago rate. Discount rooms and tickets are located at www.madmobster.com. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home hunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid.
For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
This is Joe Mo, the lucky caretaker of the iconic Forrest J. Ackerman, and you and I and all monsters are listening to the Big Scary News.
I don't have a standard interview for the show this week. It's actually kind of a tribute, as to say. December 4th marks the 6th anniversary of the loss of one of the, shall we say, legends in the sci-fi and horror industry. I'm talking, of course, about Forrest J. Ackerman, creator of things such as Famous Monsters of Filmland and many, many other things, too many to mention. But I thought we'd take a little bit of time and just pay a little tribute to Fari Ackerman. I have on the line out in Los Angeles the caretaker of Forrest Ackerman for the last 20 or so years of his life, good friend of his, lived with him for the last dozen years or so, out in Los Angeles, Mr. Joe Mo. Joe, are you on the line?
I am with you. Hello, all of you scary listeners. It's Joe Mo calling you from Horrorwood, Harlow, Florida.
Very nice. And I didn't
How
even plan
you?
That. It's good to talk to you again, my friend. It's been a while. You and I have worked together on Mad Monster conventions in Charlotte. Looking forward to doing that again this spring. We will certainly have you on when it comes time to plug the Mad Monster in Charlotte and other locations. But I wanted to ask you kind of what it was like to live with a man like Forrest J. Ackerman. And for people who don't know who he was, you know, some of our listeners probably don't know who Uncle Fari is. What just a basic rundown of who Forrest J. Ackerman was and what made him kind of such an influence on the modern horror and sci-fi industry.
Sure. Well, Forrest J. Ackerman was a nerd, just like most of us are today, and proud to be today. Wasn't as proud back then, perhaps, because when you were an outcast back then, you truly were a misfit and felt like an outcast. And we didn't have the internet back then, so Fari probably didn't know that there were other people just like him. But because of his love of all things science fiction, horror, fantasy, he basically was a Johnny Appleseed of horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. He, as a young man, corresponded with everybody he could, saw as many movies as he could. His maternal grandparents would take him sometimes to as many as 8 or 10 films in one day, and he just was in love with movies and the genre. And back in those days, mail would come twice a day, so Fari would correspond in the morning and in the evening with as many people as he could, and struck up friendships with everybody from Carl Lemley, who was the president of Universal Studios at the time, who would tell him about new things that were coming up and inform him that, well, Mr. Ackerman, maybe you should wait to ask for stills until you see this new movie, Frankenstein, that we're going to be releasing in a couple months. And at one point, Lemley said, you know what, give this kid anything he wants. And in that way, Fari became one of the first collectors. He would collect stills and posters from these movies before anybody else thought to save them or cared about them much. As well as all of this fandom, Fari was friends with a lot of innovators of the time. They were up-and-comers as well. He took pity on a poor paperboy named Ray Bradbury, who couldn't afford to send... Yep, never heard of him?
Yeah, he sounds familiar. I remember writing something.
He finally was published. Yeah,
something.
He was published at one point.
Probably some hack,
you know,
right?
Fari met this wacky kid who was selling newspapers, couldn't even afford to go to, you know, any of these science fiction events, and he bought him a ticket, a train ticket, dinner ticket, whatever it took to get him there. And Ray Bradbury has said, you know, in his life that if there wasn't a Forrest J. Ackerman, there never would have been a Ray Bradbury. So he was a fan who fell in love with the stuff just like we love it today, but basically was the town crier. He walked around making sure that everybody he could talk to knew that there was this incredible new thing called science fiction, and that there were these great things called imagine movies and horror movies with these tremendous actors and makeup artists who did all of this incredible work. And he basically made sure that we knew that there was this world out there beyond our lonely bedrooms and living rooms.
So I'm assuming that, like, the Universal Monsters, the Hammer films, he was just a huge fan of those?
Yeah, Corey's primary interest was science fiction. And, you know, Frankenstein is a science fiction film. There's a lot of crossovers. But, you know, before film was really, really heavily directed toward the genre, you know, all the literature and you know, was still there. And when Universal started coming out with these movies, and this man Lon Chaney transformed himself into so many interesting characters and monsters, Corey was just fascinated with that. And as a result of his interest in all of this, the publisher James Warren, who wanted to do a one-off magazine, you know, on the genre, decided to consult with Corey, and Corey brought him this monster magazine that had just come back from France with him, and Warren said, "We'll do this. We'll do a one-off, and it'll be a monster magazine. The kids will love it." And you know, that magazine is still being published today. Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine.
Is this Warren, Mr. Warren, James Warren, I believe, is that any relation to Warren Comics? I remember those from the 70s, Creepy
absolutely.
And Eerie and all those. That was named after him, or was that started by him?
Yeah, started by James Warren, and James was the consummate showman. He was considered at the time that he was starting the poor man's Hugh Hefner. He was making, you know, sort of men's body magazine, and the Monster magazine was as much of a fluke for him as it was for Corey. They intended to make a one-off, you know, sensational little novelty, and instead it caught on. And, you know, from the time they published it in 1958 until, you know, they had a hiatus in the 80s, young kids named Steven Spielberg, Tim Burton, George Lucas, Stephen King, Tom Hanks, you can go on forever. Cassandra Peterson, they all read that magazine and were inspired to become filmmakers, mainly because Corey and James turned the spotlight away from the movie stars, who were the focus of most entertainment magazines, and turned that light towards the filmmakers, the makeup artists, the costumers, the directors, the writers, the people that actually made the movies. And people like Rick Baker found himself quitting dental school because he realized, hey, it's not the scientists that make the monsters, it's the makeup men. And so 7 Oscars later, you know, Rick Baker is still a disciple of Corey Atkins.
I remember a young Drew Badger in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, going to the local drugstore and sitting there and reading magazines like Creepy and Vampirella, and hoping I would never get caught by Mom, who was always somewhere in the store. Because that's, you know, that was kind of your, a lot of people's first exposure to, shall we say, adult type comics, without it being graphic or anything, but there was strong adult themes and gore and death and blood.
Well, you use the word graphic, and that's interesting, because as you were saying that, you know, I've always, you know, distinguished the fact that the Jim Warren, you know, through Eerie, Creepy, Vampirella, really kind of, in my mind, was the precursor to the graphic novel, because he brought together some of the best, you know, fine artists and illustrators, in addition to the comic writers and comic artists, to create this this elevated style of magazine that was comic-based, but, you know, almost, you know, fine art. And on another note, spinning back to Tori, you might be interested to know, if you don't already, still with me?
Go on.
Yeah. You might be interested to know that Corey is the creator of Vampirella. He named her, and he wrote the origin story for that character.
I did not know that. That's really cool. I want to turn the conversation a little bit. You are an organizer of the Mad Monster parties, and, you know, horror conventions and sci-fi conventions and comic book conventions are everywhere these days and have been for a while. And a lot of great collectors go and check out all the stuff, not only for autographs from people, but to go and find all the latest stuff. Now, Fari Akrabin has a reputation of being a huge collector of some of the greatest sci-fi and horror merchandise, or sci-fi and horror props in film history.
That's right.
Was that all at his home? I mean, you lived with him for a number of years. What was it like living in what was basically a museum of sci-fi and horror, it seemed?
It was like living in a monster fishbowl, basically. It was full of all the stuff I loved as a kid. I mean, I was so lucky. I can't tell you how lucky I feel and how grateful I was to be able to share it with as many people as I was by taking care of Corey and making sure that he lived a few extra years so that family could be with him and enjoy the stuff as much as he enjoyed sharing it. But basically, you know, as I mentioned earlier, before he started collecting, before there was such thing as collector's items stamped on everything, he could dumpster dive at a studio and come up with King Kong dinosaurs from the Willis O'Brien classic. You won't do that anymore, but it was at a time when ephemera and the props were really intended just for the life of the production and not to have a life after the film. So Forey was, as well as a very, very glamorized hoarder of things like this, he was a preservationist. He, you know, he couldn't always take the best care of things because he didn't have the finances to build a million-dollar facility. But, you know, these are things that wouldn't exist for us to enjoy and that Peter Jackson wouldn't have now if Forey hadn't rescued them. And living among that stuff was incredible. And I sort of got infected by the Forey generosity gene that, you know, made the most fun of being there, watching people's eyes bug out and fall onto the green shag carpet when they first saw all of this stuff that they'd only ever seen in the pages of Famous Monsters magazine or in the films themselves. So that was an incredible experience. Never again will people be able to bring their kids and walk around the three-story house through 18 rooms of wall-to-wall, you know, monster, you know, memorabilia, science fiction props, you know, and Forey always gave the same prominence to everything. He would walk in and, here's Frankenstein monster's bolts that Jack Pierce applied to Boris Karloff next to my can of WD-40. You know, everything was just mixed together, you know. Here's the Lost World commemorative ashtray of which there are only two existing, and that's next to my phone wire shrimp. You know, tons of stuff, all given the same prominence. You never knew, and you know, everything was special to somebody. Somebody came in and that was their favorite thing. Somebody walked in and that thing behind the sliding panel next to the expensive thing, that little thing was the Peter Cushing's, you know, fingernail clipping or something, you know, that was the most important thing to them. And I watched people, you know, year after year come in and just have their minds blown and be moved and touched and inspired by all of these things that, you know, imagine a museum today, I defy you, any museum of any amount of money by anybody who has a collection, you know, that is worthy of sharing. Imagine a museum where you could walk up to the door on a Saturday, walk in, look around, get a tour by this person that had met all of these people and worked with them and seen all of these things, and then be left unattended just to wander the halls looking and searching and exploring. It could never happen. It could never, ever happen again.
What would you say was his most famous piece of memorabilia, and what would you say was his favorite and your favorite piece of memorabilia, or the one he had the most pride in?
I think one of Forey's favorite pieces was the Dracula ring, the Lugosi Dracula ring, because he could wear it. That was his traveling show. He could wear it, and he could show it to people. It was easy to manage because it was on his finger. The Bela Lugosi cape was a particular piece that he loved. He was very proud of the Metropolis Robotrix, the False Maria robot from Fritz Lang's classic Metropolis, because he had helped design it. And Bill Malone, the artist and filmmaker and a crew, built that for Forey. And not only was it a replica that was life-size and, you know, from Forey's favorite movie, one of them, but he also, we'd never seen the back because Brigitte Helm, the actress, I think she was 16 when she played the part, she would slip into this balsa wood and composite structure so they never saw a back. So Forey was able to actually design a back, be able to be creative and sort of envision what the back of that suit, that robot suit, would look like. So that was some of his. Forey often asked me You know, he's a very, very gracious, generous, and grateful person. He often said, "Oh, Joe, you take such good care of me. Isn't there anything that you'd like to have?" And I said, "Yep, I want you to live forever." Because, you know, this collection and the experience is the thing. That's the value, and it goes away when you go away. Despite that, when Flory was passing away, when he was sick and knew he was going to die, and we were holding what he liked to call his living funeral, where he would tell us who he wanted to see, and we'd make sure those people got there to pay tribute and talk to him, and he got to tell them how much he cared about them, and they got to cry and tell him how much he loved them. He made sure that the executor knew that he wanted me to have his collection of very famous life masks of the classic horror stars that were displayed in his Acker mansion for many years. And I, I'm pretty tough, but that one got me when he told me that he wanted me to have those.
Wow.
That was pretty, a pretty intense emotional moment for me.
When he passed away in 2008, I believe at the age of 92, what happened to his collection at that point?
Well, you know, he had willed some certain things that he knew were important to certain people to them, and the rest was gathered up, and some of it was sold to private collectors who Flory had had a relationship with and who he wanted to have first option of owning these things and preserving them, taking care of them, and enjoying them. And the rest of it, what was left, which was, you know, some key pieces, and was auctioned off by Profiles in History, who are, you know, I now work for Profiles in History. They're the number one memorabilia auction house in the world now, and have some of the most incredible stuff. It's been a real great boon for me to be able to be around the stuff. After Flory left and the museum was shut down, I didn't really have the same opportunity to experience these things. And through Profiles in History, working there, I get a whole new collection every 3 months and get to describe it, look at it, and then we auction it off to deserving people who love it, and then we get the new batch in. So, but they auctioned off what was left, and some very, very worthy people got the stuff. You can only hope that the people that inherited or bought what was offered will, in Flory's spirit, share it, you know, eventually, or, you know, are letting a lot of people see it, because it's stuff that sort of belongs to the world, and we're all just taking care of it while we're here.
Now, when changing direction real quick, and we're going to need to wind this down just a bit. When you hold your Mad Monster parties around the country, I know Charlotte was your first one. You've been in New Orleans and Phoenix and Seattle, and you've got Mad Mobster coming up in Chicago.
You have
a panel on Forrest J. Ackerman. That's a staple at every Mad Monster party, correct?
At every Mad Monster party, there is a Flory tribute panel, usually hosted by our friend Terry Pace, who's recovering from a stroke now, and I'm hoping, you know, he was a very close friend of Flory's and is a very close friend of mine and is part of the Mad Monster family. Get well, Terry. He's fighting and making huge progress, and he's going to be back and better than ever in no time. Hosted by Terry, I'm always a member of the panel. Ogre from Skinny Puppy, who's one of my dearest, dearest, closest friends and who was definitely Flory's family and the Bat Pack, who helped take care of him in sickness, you know, in wellness and in sickness. He's part of the panel. And then we have surprise guests. Sometimes it'll be a filmmaker named Paul David, who you may not have heard of, but is a great documentarian and knew Flory well. Sometimes it'll be Kirk Hammett of Metallica, who will pop in. And, you know, 800 people will, of course, come to see their rock god and end up meeting, you know, Flory Ackerman through the stories. But we always have a Flory panel, big or small, and we always honor him. And Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine are in our, they're in our corner endorsing this panel and giving us the, you know, carte blanche to celebrate Flory. Famous Monsters of Filmland is continuing to promote his name, and they hold the trademark on his likeness and his name, and have been really very, very gracious in letting us participate in keeping Flory in the limelight.
Well, Joe, I want to take the time again to thank you for coming on the Big Scary News, especially in light of you're in heavy Los Angeles traffic right now. And I'm glad you didn't run into or have an accident or anything here, because, you know, you hear those horrible stories about horrible L.A. traffic. But we wanted to give you the time to give a quick plug or a quick shout out to anything Fari Ackerman related. The next Mad Monster or Mad Mobster, I believe, is Chicago in February and Charlotte in March, I believe. But for people who want to get information on those shows and maybe the other shows coming in 2015 that you know are happening, where can they get that information or find out more information on Forrest J. Ackerman in general, if he has a website or social media pages or anything like that?
Well, he's all over. If you put in Forrest J., no period, Ackerman, you'll find his Wikipedia listing, which is pretty in-depth. But you'll also come upon lots and lots of interviews. He was a very social person. He was, as I said, he was all over the place all the time. And if you come onto my Facebook page, I'm Joe Mo, or if you go to the Mad Monster main page or www.madmonster.com, or just look up the Forrest J. Ackerman official fan page on Facebook. You'll get to meet Forrest and lots of the amazing people that love him and who are carrying on his tradition of imagination and creativity. And, you know, maybe you're one of these filmmakers who will be inspired by his legacy. And believe me, you've got lots and lots of friends and fans out here who will wait in line to see your movies, your art, your writing. So, you know, the best thing you can do to honor Forrest is to continue to make stuff.
Well, thank you again, Joe Mo, out in Los Angeles, for coming here on the Big Scary News, talking about the life of Forrest J. Ackerman. December 4th marks 6 years since his passing. Once again, thank you for coming on the Big Scary News. Check out madmonster.com, the various social media sites, and look up Forrest J. Ackerman on Google, and you'll find just hundreds and hundreds of really cool things related to basically the father of science fiction, horror, collecting, and everything. Rest in peace, Fari. We know you're out there, and we know you're smiling again.
And Fari would say, so long, sci-fi is my high.
We'd like to thank Prelude to a Nightmare and the CD Dark Ride for providing the music for this episode. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Big Scary News. We wish to thank Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, www.froggiesfog.com. Remember to listen to the current Big Scary Show for even more news and information, including the Haunt Minute, Face Your Fears, great music from the Haunt Rocker, and the soon-to-be-famous Roundtable of Terror. Get all that and more only at BigScaryShow.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is Drew Badger signing off for the Big Scary News.